Amen. Thank God for heaven. Thank God that we're on our way. Amen. It's been a little bit difficult to keep up with me lately because of our events, all of our events leading back to school with our students, giving students time in the church and place in the church. I think that is of utmost importance. So sometimes when we have those little breaks in our schedule, it almost throws the preacher off a little bit because I'm pretty routine in my thought patterns and where I'm going with stuff. Last Wednesday night, I preached on something I did not even really realize I was going to preach that long on the topic. And then the good Lord helped me and we got into it and God helped us. We preached a little bit about a man by the name of Stephen. Anybody remember that? We preached on the topic from tragedy, from trouble to triumph. And I don't know if anybody in this building has ever went through a storm or not. But I believe during those times of last week, I reminded us that when Stephen was going through what Stephen was going through, that God did not leave him. That he was able to look up, and the Bible says that he seen Jesus right there standing at the right hand of the Father. There was a young man by the name of Saul of Tarsus that was there at the event that took place, which was Stephen's death. And Saul was there at that time, and Saul, the Bible said that he's seen it all. I don't know what kind of effect it had on Saul's life. At that time, no doubt in my mind, because his name was changed to Paul, he was still the same person by way of being the Hebrew of the Hebrews and being a Roman citizen and studying at the feet of Gamaliel, I believe it was. And Paul was a very strict individual to keep the law. He did not move from the letter of the law. And when these disciples came out of the upper room, filled with the unction and filled with the power of God, and they began to preach Jesus Christ, it began to irritate this one man by the name of Saul to the point that he had papers in his hand on the way to Jerusalem to have more Christians committed to death. How is it that a man like Saul can be as he was, and yet God take the life of a man that was corrupt in so many other ways? And you say, well, Pastor, how do you know that he was corrupt? Because Paul himself referred to his previous life. And Paul said to himself, of himself, that he was a chief of sinners. How can God take a sinner and turn that sinner into a saint? One answer, Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's one person that said it's not turning over a new leaf. It's a total change. It's a total metamorphosis. We think about a caterpillar. Caterpillar is always a butterfly, but he just don't know it yet. But he goes through a metamorphosis. God said that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And repentance is the gateway. Repentance is the doorway. Repentance is the golden buzzer, the golden ticket, if you will, that brings a man or a woman, a boy or girl, from living a life of sin and living a life of a sinner and taking that person and turning them into a saint of God. And let me and Brother Larry Johnson preach to you a minute, because Larry and I, we've had these conversations. When a person becomes a born again child of the living God, they're no longer classified or categorized as a sinner. But you may still falter and you may still do those things. However, the Bible lets us know that our sins have been washed away and we become a new creature. The Bible says that. Old things are passed away and behold, all things become new. I want to share with you tonight for just a little bit what I believe the Lord laid into my heart tonight. And it is something that I need. Anytime you want to pray for the preacher, you pray for the preacher. Anytime you want to pray for the pastor's wife, you pray for the pastor's wife. Anytime that you wake up at 3 a.m. and we're on your heart and we're on your mind, you pray for us. I covet those prayers. But there's something that I need in my life right now that I'm hungry for. And I pray that if I don't preach to nobody else in this building tonight, let me preach to myself. Okay? So if I throw it that way and it ain't for you, you throw it back up here and I'll take it all night, okay? I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, the power of a fresh anointing. The power of a fresh anointing. If there's ever been a time and a day and an hour in the life of the church that we need to be anointed again for the glory of God, it is the day and the hour that we live in. When I began to think about this particular message this evening, I began to think about this young man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. I began to look at his life. I began to look again into the scripture that we all know. When Stephen was being stoned, the Bible said there in Acts 8 and 1, where that Saul was there and Saul consented unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles, and they were there in Jerusalem. So we can see from this particular situation in the book of Acts chapter number 9, we know the story very well. It is when Paul was there and there was great persecution in the church at that time and great persecution against the Christian at that time. There was this one individual by the name of Saul. We pick up and we can see there that he is in Acts 9 and 1 breathing out these slanderous terms and these threatenings against the church, the slaughtering against the church. And then we can see against the disciples of the Lord and the high priest. Now let me just sort of paraphrase, because you know this scripture as well as I do. It is a time that Paul was doing a whole lot of ugly stuff, is the best way I can say it. Now, I don't know. I've not read this in commentary in a long time, and it's been a while since I've even really preached it to actually try to tear it apart. Different people say different things. It is said that Paul himself may not have ever murdered anyone. I don't know. But yet we do know that Paul was responsible for having the Christians murdered. Now, I don't know about you, but when I began to read that today, I began to think about the severity of the life of Paul the Apostle. I began to think about the guilt. I began to think about the shame. I began to think about the life, no doubt, that he had lived. A horrible life, yet an intelligent man. But a man that no doubt was filled with anger. No doubt he was a man that was filled with some type of vendetta against the Christian church at that time. But yet as he made his way to Damascus, to the high court of the day, when he had papers in his hand, no doubt there was probably names on that paper. No doubt there was John Doe. No doubt there was Jane Doe. And I could talk about the Smiths and the Jones. That's a common name, but we got Joneses and we got Smiths, and I'm not going to do that. But no doubt that name was there. How many of you know that your name one day was on the devil's roll? Come on, somebody. I feel him. No doubt your name was on the devil's roll. The devil, the Bible says, is out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Maybe that devil was thumbing through his Rolodex. I'm dating myself. Maybe one day he was thumbing through his Rolodex and all of a sudden he came across a name. Maybe he came across the name Sandra Neely. She gets picked on a lot. She sits on the front. Maybe he comes across the name Sandra Neely today. Well, there's Sandra, and she's been pretty good at the church, and she's been testifying, and looky right here on this particular date, she led so-and-so to the Lord. They gave their heart to God because of the witness and the testimony of Sandra Neely. And then he says, let's just all these little imps and all these little demons go after Sandra today and see if we can get Sandra to backslide. See if we can get Sandra to curse God. See if we can get Sandra to throw her hands up and quit. About that time, Sandra feels a little quiver in her stomach. About that time, she feels a check in her heart. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost, come on somebody, the Holy Ghost begins to overshadow her bedroom. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, she's still wide awake. But maybe the Holy Ghost begins to shadow over Sandra's bedroom a little bit. Maybe she begins to feel a little anxiety. Maybe she begins to feel a little animosity against the enemy of her soul that's trying to come against her with thoughts of whatever those thoughts may be, thoughts of not enough, thoughts of I've let God down, anything because the devil's the accuser of the brethren. And then all of a sudden, Sandra's there, and as the enemy's trying to do everything that he can to get her discouraged. And let me tell you, my friend, the devil's going to do everything the devil can do to try to get you discouraged. Your name might have been on the devil's roll one day. I don't know. I feel like mine's on there several places. Seek him again. Go get him again. He's still standing. Then all of a sudden, Sandra is there in the middle of the night, and all that anxiety that she began to feel, all that stuff that she began to feel, all the doubt, all the fear, everything the enemy tries to put upon her, all of a sudden is overcome by the sweetness of the Spirit of God. There's an anointing that comes, you don't mind me touching your beautiful hair, there's an anointing that comes upon her. It starts at the top of her head and it resonates all the way down through her body. All of a sudden the Holy Ghost begins to witness through her. All of a sudden she begins to pray in a heavenly language that can only be given by the Holy Ghost himself. And before long, all of that animosity, all of a sudden, all the pain, all the accusers, all the anguish of the enemy, all the doubt, all the fear, all the anxiety is gone because of something that takes place in the spiritual realm that really, my friend, you don't know about unless you yourself have ever been there. I love the psalm when the psalmist says these words. The psalmist uses these words in Psalm 92 and verse number 10. And this is what he says there in the scripture. When you begin to look at this word, he begins to say in the latter part of that verse, he says, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Throughout the scripture, even all the way back into the Old Testament, before a priest could be used of God, before a king could be used of God, there was this consecration, there was this coronation that Bob talked about a few weeks ago in Sunday school. And part of that was where they would take the oil and they would anoint this priest, they would anoint this king, and it was an outward and a visible sign of something that God was doing on the inside. We carry oil around up here because the Bible said, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil. We do this simply because the Bible says to do it. There's no magic trick to it. But symbolically, it is a symbol of being anointed with fresh oil. It is a symbol of being anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost. If you and I, my friend, would only realize tonight how much we need a fresh anointing. God, I know what it is to be anointed. I know what it is to be vigilant. I know what it is to be alert. I know what it is to have my head in the game. I know what it is to be on fire for God. But I also know what it is to cool off. I also know where it is to get fixed on other things and not have my focus on Him. And what I'm telling you tonight is in my heart, God, help us tonight as a church and as a people to get anointed with fresh oil so that once again that we have our focus back on You. Ah, bless the Lord, oh my soul. We need the anointing. If there's been a day and an hour that we ever need God to touch us, when Stephen was standing there and he was getting ready to leave this world because he was going to be stoned. I remember reading there in the scripture. I won't turn to it for the sake of time. Stephen was able to look up and Stephen was able to see when they were gnashing upon him with their teeth. Let me tell you something, friend. This is just how I feel it tonight. I'm going to say it like I feel it. The world will never stop gnashing on the church. The devil will never stop trying to beat you up. But when Stephen looked up into the heavens, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And my friend, I don't know about you, but that's what we need in the church again today. We need the power of the Spirit of the living God back in the church today. Stephen, the Bible said that he was full of faith. The anointing that was upon Stephen kept him full of faith. The anointing that was upon Stephen kept him full of the power, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to show you a picture of a car. You say, a car? Yeah, there's not a man in this room that at least wouldn't like to drive this car at some point. This car, according to my understanding, is a 2023. Does anybody recognize what kind of car that is? Keith will. He's a car guy. That is a 2023. That is a Bentley. That is a Bentley Continental, a GT. The value of that car, according to my research today, was $235,600. Go take your pocket change and buy you one. Now hear me. This is about as good of an analogy as I could come up with today. That car right there, you would look at that car and you'd say, that is an expensive car. It is. $235,600. And I don't even know if they can see that online or not. I have no clue. But you can take that car, my friend, and you can polish that car. You can shine it. You can keep it waxed. And you can do all kinds of things with that car. Everybody can walk by and they can ooh and they can ah and they can say, boy, that's a nice car. You can do the same thing with a Mercedes, a Porsche, some of those real fine high-end cars, whatever they're called. I'm not much of a car guy. A Lamborghini, that's exactly what I was thinking about. And everybody would go, ooh, and they would go, ah, and they would really say, wow, what a nice and beautiful car that is. But here's what my analogy is this evening. You can have the most beautiful car in the world, and you can take the engine out of that car, and you can take the transmission out of that car. I feel him stirring in me, Brother West. And you ain't got nothing but an old empty car shell that's going absolutely nowhere. Nowhere. You say, well, preacher, why did you give us that analogy? The analogy is simply this. It's because you and I today, we can have all the accolades and know all the songs and have the nice this and the nice that. We can build, we can do this and we can do that, and we can have everything just in perfect order in the church. But in all reality, friend, if you take the Holy Spirit out of the church, we've got nothing left but an old, dead, lifeless shell. And I'll be honest with you, I started in a storefront. I started in a little bitty storefront. I had a cassette player on top of an old rickety piano that I didn't have anybody to play. My praise and worship was Vineyard music. And I would go and I would hit the play button on a cassette tape. And we would play that song out. And Brother West, Sister West, we would sing. We would praise God. We'd sing Change My Heart, Oh God. We would sing As the Deer. We would sing that with all of our heart. And the power of God. It ain't about the vessel, friend. It's about the Holy Spirit in you and the Holy Spirit in me. And I'm saying, God, in the name of Jesus, Paul was a wretched man. He was a miserable man. He was a horrible man. He kept the law, but he was lost as a goose. But my friend, something happened in the life of Paul, the apostle, that I pray that God would do in each and every one of our lives. May I tell you something that's not in my outline nowhere? I've heard it said that God is a gentleman and God is not going to force you to do anything that you don't want to do. Because God is a gentleman. I don't know if that's true or not. Because God goes and God searches and God knocks on doors and God beckons with people's hearts. But I'm praying tonight that God would woo His people once again back to His side and back to His presence until all of us come back into one mind and one accord. And we're saying, God, would you fill the church with your glory one more time? We see here in the Word, when we begin to look at the Word, we see Paul in Acts chapter number 9. In Acts chapter number 9, we can see of how Paul was called of God. I believe the anointing comes with the calling, myself. When He chooses you, when He calls you, He anoints you. God anoints you to do what He's called you to do. There's a lot of things I enjoy doing. There's a lot of talents and things that I enjoy doing. You can do them. Can I be honest with you? I don't know if any mechanics is in the room. I don't know. I just picked a mechanic. You don't have to have the anointing to be a mechanic. That's a talent that God gives you. I don't have to have an anointing to go paint. And I don't have to have an anointing to go and do my daily chores. But when I go up against Satan and the devils and the do the work of the ministry and the call of God, you better have the anointing on you. God knew that. God knew when He began to deal with this man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He began to call him out, and we see this in verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. The Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. The Bible said, and when this particular situation happened, verse number 4, and he fell to the earth And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said unto him, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to kick against me. Now, this is not in my notes. This is a little bit more greenology, a little bit of country boy. It's like Paul was saying, or Jesus was saying to Paul, you can kick and you can squall all you want to, but you're not going to win. There was something in Saul's life that God saw. There was something in Saul's life that Jesus saw. And I believe even on a Wednesday night, there's something in every one of our lives that God has a purpose for. And for that purpose, you and I need to be anointed. No matter what it is. You say, well, you just contradicted yourself. No, to do the work of the ministry. To lead somebody to the Lord at the bakery when you didn't even know they were going to be in there. And I might as well jump ahead for about 30 minutes and I'll wrap it up maybe a minute or two early. Because the Bible said that God, we have an anointing from the Holy One. I'll get to it. And that in the scripture it says that, Sandra, that He will teach us. We need the Holy Ghost anointing so that the Holy Ghost can teach us what to do. When these disciples went into the ministry, Jesus even told them, He said, don't even think about what you're going to say. Just do what I've called you to do. And when you get to that, anybody ever been there? You didn't know what you was going to say. Any preacher's ever been there? When you get ready to preach, you don't. I've preached many times just by God dealing with me back there and me come up here and God says, here it is. And I go, okay, God, don't let me make a fool of myself. You give it to me, I'll preach it. You know, I'll do what you tell me to do. And in this, we see where that Paul, Saul, finally surrendered to God. If the church is going to operate in the anointing, are you with me? If the church is going to operate in the anointing, now watch this. As the church, as the body of believers at Thomasville, we've got to get to the place, watch this, that we all collectively find out what God's plan is for our lives and just do it. Find out what God's plan is for this church and just do it. Well, we don't have the resources. Find out what God's plan is for this church and just do it. Well, we don't have this, or there's always going to be a shortness of resources until you do what God tells you to do. When they needed more fish, all He had to do is reach in the basket and there was some fish come in. When they needed some more loaves of bread, all they had to do is reach there in the basket and the bread come in. When you start doing what God has called you to do, I'm preaching better than you're letting on. When you start doing what God has called you to do, we don't have to worry about resources. Resources will come. The problem is getting the people of God to do what God tells us to do. Because we want to look at all the what ifs. We want to look at all the obstacles. Get out of the boat, Peter. Peter stepped out. He began to look around and think, oh, my goodness, I'm not supposed to walk on water. Droop. That quick. The anointing makes a difference. I believe that you and I can be anointed with fresh oil. So we ask ourselves this afternoon several questions. Paul said in the scripture text, in verse number 6, and he trembling and astonished. I can only imagine. I cannot wrap my mind around it, but I can only imagine in my own mind. Maybe I can't. That's a little bit way far beyond me. Paul was astonished. And in other words, the way that we would say that today, that just blows my mind. Paul's mind was just like blowed because God had really called him, chosen him. Jesus called him out. What are we going to do in the church when God begins to call us out? What are we going to do in the church when Jesus finally convinces you that you're a chosen vessel of His. Brother Bobby, I remember about 11 o'clock at night, I was working at Pepsi at the time, or Coca-Cola, excuse me. Working at Coca-Cola at the time, way back yonder, back in the 80s. Aaron had just been born. Sherry had Aaron in the bed with her. And I had an old brown chair in our bedroom. And Brother Don's sitting right there in that brown chair. I don't know how he done it, but I just know. I can't put it on paper. I just know. Brother West sitting in that chair with my wife holding that youngin' in the bed, the baby, a baby, an infant, just weeks old, not very old at all. I don't know how old he was. I don't remember. But I remember the night, Bob, that I surrendered and said, God, here I am. If you want me to preach, I'll preach. I didn't know, Joe. I didn't know nothing about preaching. All I felt was that pull and that tug. That's been a long time ago, folks. I looked at myself in the mirror the other day and it's like, wow, you're getting old. I still feel good. I still feel like 35, you know. I feel good. It's like I felt that pull and that draw. Have you ever got to that place you're astonished at God? God, why did you choose me? Because He found somebody that He could trust. He found somebody that would listen to Him. He found somebody that He could anoint. He found somebody that He knew would be willing to do what He called him to do. Paul looked back and he said, Lord, I love that. As he was astonished, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Under this unction tonight, under the anointing tonight, all of us as we prayed in this room, what is it that we can't just raise up our hands tonight and say, God, what do you want me to do? Maybe you're here tonight and you felt like God's given up on you, and maybe you've halfway given up on God. But the real reality of it is we're not waiting on God, God's waiting on you. And maybe you've kicked that can for years and years and years, and you're thinking, I'm beyond my prime and I'm beyond doing anything. How many of you know that God's an on-time God, and God's time and your time is not the same time, and God can use you right now in your retirement or however old you are, just like He did a young whippersnapper the night that I said, God, let's go. But we can't do it without Him. We cannot do it without the anointing. Somebody says, well, does everybody have an anointing? I believe that God has anointed all of His people for something. You say, is it necessary that I flow? Is it necessary? Is it a prerequisite for ministry? Do I need a consecration? Do I need that? You may not need necessarily, and I know this is a little bit on the edge, but they laid hands on the disciples before they sent them out. You may not need me to lay my hand on you and anoint you, but you do need God to lay His hand on you and anoint you. Because I can verify that in the book of Acts, chapter number 10, and we look in verse number 38, because it was Peter that was preaching. When Paul got done, and we'll get maybe back into Paul in a few minutes, but when Saul got through and Paul was on the road to Damascus, and I'll get more into that in a minute, here goes Peter. Peter was the preacher of that New Testament church coming out of the upper room. And a part of Peter's preaching, this is Peter's words in Acts 10 and verse number 38. This is what he says. And I'll say it like this: if Jesus needed to be anointed to do ministry, you and I need to be anointed to do ministry. In Acts 10 and 38, the Bible says, when you look at that, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I love that verse. Because when God anointed Jesus, he was able to do the work of the ministry. Now don't fall out with me right here. I truly do not believe that we can reach our full potential for God and or in ministry until you and I be anointed of God. We've got to be anointed. We've got to flow in the anointing. Now let me just say this. I'm your friend. I love rubbing elbows with the kids. I love doing projects. I love working on projects. I'm a doer. I work with my hands. I love doing stuff like that. But my friend, that thing, doing that does not equate to my anointing. And I love coming to God's house and I love preaching and I love coming up here and doing what God wants me to do under the unction and under the Holy Ghost. When I'm in the pulpit, I'm the preacher. Amen. When I'm up here, I'm God's man. Amen. There's a time to rub elbows. There's a time to be friendly. There's a time for all of that. But there's a time for you and I to pull together under the unction of the Holy Ghost and kick the devil out. Come on, somebody. Jesus was anointed. Jesus walked with them. Jesus talked with them. But they must never forget Jesus Christ was God's anointed. Christos, Christ. What does it mean? It means anointed one. How many of you knew that? Christ means anointed one. How that God anointed Jesus. Look at the results of Jesus being anointed. He was anointed with power. He was anointed with doing good. He done good deeds. He was anointed to go and heal. He was anointed to go deliver from the devil and to do the work of ministry, for God was with him. And it came, yes, he was God's son. Yes, he's the Holy One. Yes, but it came here, as Peter testifies, through God anointing him. And you and I need to be anointed. When you begin to look at Jesus' own words, Jesus' own words taken out of the book of Isaiah. But Jesus got up on that noble day. Luke chapter 4 verses 18 and 19. And this is what the Word of God said. And in that scripture, it was Jesus that took the book. And Jesus began to read this out of Luke 4 and 18. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Wow. I'll just meddle here for a minute. I'll put myself under the spout where the glory is coming out. Come on, we used to say. I'm saying, God, I'm not ashamed of that. Let me just meddle for a minute. We've placated the anointing. We've watered down. We've watered down the church. There's a time that somebody even said it about me. Here. Long time ago. It don't take all that yelling. It don't take all that preaching like he does anymore. Come on, that is not a quote. I don't know how it came, and I'm not worried about it. Don't even ask me about it. Somebody says, well, it don't take. You go preach, and you preach the way you do. Let the good Holy Ghost anointing get on you, and you do it, you do it, you do it, you know, however God. I can't help it. It gets, Brother Bob, it just gets all over me. It gets the getting down in my heart and getting, I'm about to explode. You can't explain it. And sometimes, Brother West, the more you pump that pump, the more he sends it to you. I mean, it gets aggressive in your spirit. You don't. I don't even know if you know what I'm talking about. But you just. I mean, God's feeding you, and he's pumping. You just got to get it out of your system. The Spirit of the Lord. I'm saying, God, put the Spirit on us again. They used to call us holy rollers. And now they say, well, it don't take all that. And you know what? We fell right into that trap. We fell right into that thing, and people say, well, it just don't take all that anymore. And I know I'm out of the lens of the camera. I apologize. And people say, it don't take all. Let me tell you something, friend. Paul addressed the Galatians and called them foolish Galatians. How do you think that you can finish by the flesh what was begun by the Spirit? Maybe I'm meddling, maybe I've done told you, if it ain't for you, throw it back up here on this country boy, because I need it. We got to have it, Don. If there's anything I need in my life right now, I need God to touch me. Call it old fashioned. Call it old school. Call it we don't need it anymore. Call it we found a better way to do things. No, my friend. We've drifted so far away from the anointing of the living God. We need God to rattle us one more time. We need a shake down. We need God to take us and anoint us from our head to our toes to do a new work. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you might be wondering, what in the world is he even talking about? I'd say 99.99999% of the people in this room and those watching me online, you know what I'm talking about. And I'll go ahead and pick on them people online tonight because God can touch them online. Some cannot come. I understand that. But there's nothing like us coming together when we can as the body of Christ in God's house together. That was a means. It's still a means of getting the message out there. But it's not like being here in service together. And Joanne, you may have to help me upstairs. We have a lot of views on our ticker, on our Facebook and all of that. But the average person only stays on there about 3 minutes. They can't say they're watching the whole service. They can't say that unless that ticker's wrong, because Pastor looks at it. And I'm just saying, God, give us the anointing. Send the anointing on us. Penny, I'm nowhere near done. God, send the anointing. He said, because he has anointed me to preach, proclaim the gospel to the poor. We need the anointing to preach the gospel to the poor. We need the anointing to reach the brokenhearted. I feel so helpless sometimes because there's so many needs around me. I get requests and people asking me to do things for them. And my hands are strapped. I can't do a lot of stuff. Well, why can't you do this for me? Because I don't have the permission. I don't have the means to do it. But I can tell you about Jesus. Jesus don't do much for somebody that needs a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a meal because they're about to starve to death. And you tell them you can't help them. It don't do much for them. Jesus told In the book of Matthew 18, he fed them and they saw his miracles and thousands came to him. The anointing to reach the brokenhearted. The anointing to preach deliverance to those that are bound. Oh, dear God, there's so many people bound up in their minds today. I see it all the time. You say the older people, my friend, let me tell you something. If we really knew what Chris Hewitt was having to deal with right now, it'd scare us. Young people today, I've never seen it in all of my life. COVID was an inward road to destroy the mind of children. They're different. And I'm not even going to get on the gender thing tonight. Kids today, they just lost. Hopelessness. Anointing to deliverance to the captives. And recovering of sight to the blind. Physically, yes. But spiritually blind as well. And to set at liberty That's what Jesus said, I've been anointed for. You know what? I just feel this in my heart. If this church would look at that verse right there and let that right there be part of our vision for this church, and we would focus just right there on what Jesus did, you'd see a turnaround in this church. I promise you that. I promise you that. If we would do what Jesus did, why would he not send people to us to do that for? I didn't even have that in my thinker today when I wrote that down. Let me give you something really fast. Really fast. I'm not going to talk about the priestly role, the ceremony. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to turn really, really fast because I'm trying to wrap this up and finish it up here. I've just given you my heart tonight, church. So this is the need of the anointing. The necessity of the anointing. Where does this anointing come from? 1 John chapter number 2, John was writing this. And in John's writing, again, when you look at this in verse number 20, he begins to write this and he says, and I'm only going to mention a few of these verses. There's a lot of verses in there, but I'm only going to mention a few of them. He said, but you have an unction from the Holy One. Unction means anointing. Anointing, if you look at the word anointing, you know what it means? It means to rub upon. It means to smear upon. You don't need to turn there, Kathy, but 1 Samuel was when Samuel came to find this little ruddy guy by the name of David. He took that horn of oil and he put it over David's head. David was anointed to be king. It was years and years before David was ever in the throne room or to be positioned there as the king through Saul and everything that went on. But from that moment on, he was anointed. The Bible says, but you have an unction from the Holy One. When you get saved, when you get born again, when you get to be a child of God, Jesus comes and he washes all of our sins away. I'm going to tell you a story. I've told it to you so many times, but I can't help it. I won't tell you the details. I won't go through the whole thing, but I remember Ray Hughes. Some of you don't know that name. Ray Hughes was in the Church of God for years and years and years and years, and I'm so thankful that I'm old enough and was in the church when I was young enough to get to know who he was and to be a part of the services that he preached. Ray Hughes has a message on YouTube that I've not listened to in years. And the title of that message is The Anointing Makes the Difference. And it may be in that very... I probably got the cassette tape at my house in my garage if they're not eat up with the heat. They're that old. But in that, on that cassette, I think is when he told the story when he went and God said, go to every district overseer in the state of North Georgia. I believe it was North Georgia. Every district overseer and rub fire. Come here, Brother West. I was going to use Sandra, but I don't want to hurt her arm. He went to every overseer in the state, literally, and rubbed the fire of God off on them. He did. Now, did it do any good? I don't know, but he obeyed God. Symbolically, it was a transfer of the anointing. I know. And somebody says, can that really happen? Elijah, Elisha, Paul, Timothy. I mean, all the way throughout the Word of God, I believe it can. I believe we can sit at the feet of a Bobby Sparks and learn from a Bobby Sparks and take that anointing that Bobby Sparks has and transfer that over to Alan Green when I've been around him enough and learned from him and he teaches me and he shows me the things that he knows and what God showed. Yeah, you can do that. Elisha said, when I see him go up. Yeah, I believe that. He got the mantle and everything that happened in Elijah and He done more miracles than Elijah ever did. Elisha did. Why am I preaching like this on a Wednesday night? I'm just saying, God, anoint us afresh. I hope everybody in this room gets a fresh rub of the Holy Ghost. And I hope when we come in here Sunday morning that your face is glowing like Moses when he come off the mountain. And somebody going to look at Betty Johnson and say, my, what's happened to you? And all you can say is, I've just been with Jesus. You don't have to explain nothing. You just say, I've just been with Jesus. I've been getting my fresh anointing. I've been under the spout where the glory's coming out. I went as long as I could go without a touch from heaven. I finally got myself in a position and I said, God, here I am. Paul was said, I'll show you what things that he's to do. I'll show you what I'm going to use him. How many of you still like to be used of God? I'm saying, God, use me. We sing that song, God, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. God took this old wretched sinner by the name of Saul of Tarsus, touched him, anointed him. And this is what the Bible said. Ananias was there in verse 17. The Bible said, let me go back to verse 15. I'm sorry. Ananias was worried because he knew what evil he had done in verse 13. We don't have to read that one. Verse 13, I love this. He says, but the Lord said unto him, Ananias, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel. You don't need to turn there. We've talked about it already a couple of weeks ago. And it tells us there in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 that we're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. God chooses and God anoints. Aren't you glad it's not man's decision? I remember walking into the office of the pastor that I had at the time, Wayne Moore. He's already gone on to glory. And I said, Brother Moore, can you tell me how I'll know that I'm called to preach? You know what his answer was? I can't tell you that. Only God can confirm that and tell you that. I went to Brother Black. A lot of you know Brother Black. He's gone on to glory. Sat in his chair, sat in his office at Asheville, West Asheville, when he was a pastor there. I didn't know anything about Thomasville. It wasn't nowhere. I didn't know nothing at all. Didn't know Brother Black had been here. I wanted Brother Black to tell me to quit my job at Pepsi to go do what God called. I wanted him to tell me that day. You know what Brother Black told me? Raymond remembers. After a 2-hour talk and me pleading my case before Brother Black, telling Brother Black every reason why I need to do what I'm doing or what I need to do, I was scared to death. I told Pepsi Cola on Friday that I was going to go full time into ministry and didn't even tell my church until Sunday in a meeting because I didn't want my church's decision to sway what God had already told me to do. That's faith. I laid my case out before Brother Black. I expected Brother Black to tell me, Sandra, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this is the route you need to take. You know what he did? He reared back in his chair and just sat back a little bit, looked me square in the eye, and he said, well, I think you need to get busy then. That's it. Point blank. I thought that is not the answer that I wanted. But you know what? That was in June. Y'all ready for this? Why did I quit in June, Bob? Interesting time, middle of the summer. You don't quit Pepsi Cola in the middle of June. But the next week was Whittier camp meeting. I wasn't going to miss camp meeting. Mm-mm. Cold turkey. Quit. You don't do stuff like that. It's been a long time ago. Watch this. That was 1992. 1992. He walks with me. He talks with me. He helps me all along the way. I can't say, Sister West, that I've enjoyed everything I've ever had to go through in this life, and you know what I'm talking about, but I've never went without food. There've been times, Bob, I've been down to the bottom of the barrel. Before I leave church, somebody'd slip up and put a $20 bill in my hand. Say, preacher, go eat lunch on me today. My God. Woo! When you obey God, when you get under the anointing, this message might not have meant nothing to you, but it's a refreshing breath of air to me to stay anointed. I want you to stand with me tonight. Father, I've done what I felt like in my heart. And God, I pray for Sherry and myself. That God, that even in the age that we are now and the time that we've already spent here at Thomasville, that God, not one moment of my desire to be here, and not one moment has my mind been changed about the call of God to be at Thomasville. And Lord, as you instruct us, as you enable us, as you give us strength for the days ahead, Father, I pray, God, that now, that God, that you would give Sherry and I a fresh anointing for this church. And I pray that you would touch this church tonight, God, with a fresh anointing. And Father, just like the picture of that car that I showed earlier, that car is useless without the engine. That car is useless without the transmission. And Father, I believe the church is practically useless without the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God is that unction. So God, I pray that you touch your people tonight, God. I pray, God, that you would give us a hunger for your unction. Give us a hunger for your anointing. And Lord, I want to thank you in advance for that you're doing in our lives and that you're doing in the church. And God, you're setting us up. I know you're setting us up. I know that, God. I know it. I know it. I know it. And God, you're just getting ready to help us to be a soul-winning station, to see an influx of people, God, that you're going to give us. And God, every person in this room must do it biblically. We must do it by your word. And we must do it with wisdom and knowledge and understanding under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And Father, be with us as we go throughout the remainder of this week. And we ask you this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.